This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by the Spotify Green Room, formerly known as the Locker Room app. Guys, Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. Start or join ongoing conversations. Watch games together. React to the biggest news, rumors, and games. And of course, I host a weekly show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room. The Bears Talk Underground presents Club 34/7. Be sure and join me. Come through and talk with me live. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android app store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join into the group. Follow me to be notified when my room goes live. And, of course, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, is when Club 34/7 hits the air. So be sure to join in on the fun, guys. You don't want to miss it. And be sure to follow me on the app so that you'll know anytime that I go live, because we'll be doing watch parties during the preseason. We'll be doing knee-jerk reactions during halftime, during the season, and things like that. Lots to do. This app opens up so many possibilities for interaction between me and you, my loyal audience. So be sure and download the Spotify Green Room app wherever you get your apps. What's up, guys? It feels good to be back in the win column. The Bears haven't won a football game since week 16, against the Jaguars at the end of the season. And, you know, kind of the end of our, three-game winning streak, wins against crappy football teams that, you know, kind of erased the six-game losing streak and still managed to stumble our way into the playoffs. But it was nice to see our beloved get a win up until, like, the final 4 minutes of the game. Looked like it was going to be a dominant win, a 20-3 victory. But the Bengals finally hit us with that big play that we were afraid they might be able to pull off, especially with what they were able to do against Minnesota last week and what the Rams were able to do to us. As well, that deep ball to Ja'Marr Chase was always going to be there, and thankfully it didn't come until the game was kind of already decided. But the Bengals certainly made things interesting there in the final moments. But we came away with the victory, and that's always a fantastic thing. So let's find out who made this week's naughty and nice list for Bear Up and Bear Down. It is the Bear Up and Bear Down episode for week number 2 of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the dial tone ringing out loud. Like I said, feels good to get that win. I'm sure that there will be some club dub activity for the players, which is always a nice thing for them. They protected the home field. They were able to even their record at 1-1 with a victory over the Bengals today. And made a little bit more heart-stopping at the end than I think we would have liked, especially for how quickly it happened. We'll talk about it more tomorrow in the deep dive review. But to sum up, Joe Burrow's fourth quarter basically went like this: three consecutive interceptions, three plays, three consecutive pass attempts, three interceptions, 13 points for the Bears, two consecutive touchdown passes at the end of the fourth quarter to make a 20-3 deficit, a 20-17 nail biter of a finish. So, an interesting up and down roller coaster of a fourth quarter for the Bengals. It was an interesting way to end the football game, especially since going into the fourth quarter, it was still, 7-3, 10-3, something like that. I mean, it just, it wasn't an exciting scoreboard-breaking kind of football game. Very much a defensive struggle. Very much a game between two teams still trying to find themselves, you know, with the Bears on offense, and also the Bears struggling a bit on offense because we had to teeter back and forth between quarterbacks with Andy Dalton going down in the second quarter. And that was a very tragic thing that happened. I hope he's all right, because I want Justin Fields to win the job and have Andy Dalton backing him up. I feel like they've been good for each other, and I hope that Dalton isn't done for the season. I hope it's just a sprain or something. I hope it's not serious. But he was actually playing very well. You know, it wasn't sexy. Same as, like, you know, last week against the Rams. You know, he wasn't going to light up any records, you know, or anything like that. But he was being very efficient. I think he was like 9 for 10 or something like that when he went out of the game. He'd scrambled for a first down earlier in the game, and he was just running for another one and made an awkward step with his left leg, and you see the knee kind of cave. And, you know, all my years watching football, when I see knees do that, you often later hear there was an ACL involved and it's not in good shape anymore. So fingers crossed that Andy Dalton will be all right so that we can keep him. That'll be the storyline of the week, that what's going on with Andy Dalton. Is Justin Fields the starter? And then it will be, you know, is it Justin's job for the remainder, or will Andy, that old adage, that old rule, you know, starters don't lose their job due to injury. Will he come back and be the starter when he's healthy again, or will we be too far gone in the process at that point? If in fact, A, he's only out for a short term, and B, you know, can come back to the starting lineup. So lots of questions out there, but it all hinges on the MRI tomorrow to find out, you know, is his knee blown, or is it just a sprain, or is it partially torn and it won't require surgery? You just put a brace on it, it'll be okay. You know, that kind of thing. We'll have to wait and see with that. But, you know, it was a fun game. You know, it wasn't boring despite the low scoring affair, you know, starting the fourth quarter, you know, with a 10-3 score kind of thing, because the Bears kick a field goal shortly after the fourth quarter starts. And, you know, it was, like I said, it wasn't pretty as far as, you know, an offensive juggernaut. And, you know, I was very happy with the way the Bears are playing defense, aside from two really stupid penalties on the D. That's the kind of thing that we have to eliminate. The kind of thing we have to eliminate with the taunting call for Tashaun Gibson early in the first quarter, and the unsportsmanlike conduct call on Quinn knocking Joe Burrow down when they're both like at least 2-3 steps into the sideline before he knocked him over. You know, granted, Joe Burrow did the flop of all flops when Quinn bumped into him, but Quinn shouldn't have bumped into him. You know, or at the very least should have did that thing where he kind of hugged him, you know, instead of knocking him down, letting him fall or whatever, just kind of wrap your arms around him kind of thing, because you gotta put your hands on him so you don't run through him to avoid the knockdown kind of thing. But aside from those two really stupid things, we overall played fairly well on defense. Like, Joe Mixon had some success running the football, but he didn't. You know, he wasn't as big a factor as he was last week against the Vikings. Same thing can be said for David Montgomery as well. But anyway, let's go ahead and dig into this. And we'll start with the bear downs, okay? Bear down to Tashaun Gibson. Now, granted, I thought the taunting call was bogus. I don't like this new taunting call, where you're not allowed to show any kind of emotion, you're not allowed to rile up your opponents or anything like that. I am not in favor of this at all. You know, that's part of the fun of the game. I've said it on Twitter, you'll hear me say it on the knee-jerk reactions, you hear me say it again right here, right now. Football is one of the most emotional sports that there is, and you've set the parameters for this penalty, basically telling the players they're not allowed to be emotional anymore. You know, they're not allowed to, you know, when they knock the ball away, get in their opponent's face and be like, yeah, like that, you know, or something. That's a 15-yard penalty now. That's an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty now, you know, and that's what they call Tashaun Gibson for. Like I said, I'm not in favor of the penalty, because it actually happened later on when the Bears were deep in their own territory. Von Bell did the same thing on a third down play. He gets in Andy Dalton's face,
They throw the 15-yard flag for him. Now, it benefited us because we went from being at our own 7-yard line to being at the 22 with a brand new set of downs and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think what he did was egregious enough to get a penalty. I really don't. He didn't put his hands on anybody. He didn't bump into Andy Dalton. He didn't touch the referee. Nothing. He just was like, you know, he was pumped up. He was in Andy Dalton's face. Big deal. You know? It was so ridiculous. But, you know, it was like one went against us, one went for us. I wasn't in favor of either of those penalties being called. However, everybody knows that penalty exists. So you can't do that anymore, you know? And it's such a steep penalty. Unsportsmanlike conduct, 15 yards, automatic first down. You can't afford to do it anymore, you know? And Tashaun Gibson is not a rookie. He is a veteran, 5, 6, 7 year veteran, something like that. He's been in the league for a long time. So I know this is a new rule, but you know the rule exists. You know it's there. You have to be smarter than that, period. So bear down to Sean Gibson for doing that. I'm not in favor of it. I think it was bogus, but there it is. So you can't do it. You know, it's kind of like, and I'm hoping it's one of those penalties that will go away, you know, after a season or two, because it's very much like when players were getting penalized for touchdown celebrations. It's the same thing. Like, you're just telling these guys they can't have any fun with the game. They just scored a touchdown, which is not easy to do for, you know, most teams in the league. Touchdowns are hard to come by. That's why they cost. That's why they, you know, value them as much as they do. 6 points and everything like that. And you're telling me you can't celebrate after a touchdown. You know, oh, spike the ball. That's it. High five your teammate. That's it. You know, don't dance or anything like that. Don't have any fun with your career. You know, hopefully this is one of those penalties that will fall into that category that after a while be like, you know what? A lot of these penalties are bullshit. We just need to get rid of it. You know, we need to put it or set it back to the 2020 and prior parameters. We had to do something egregious to get called for taunting, you know? So, I hope it goes away, but it's not one that you can afford. And, you know, he bent over, leaned over the kid, started clapping. That's, like I said, stupid and stupid penalty, but it was a stupid thing, especially on third down. Did it on third down. It was like third and 12 or something like that. 15 yards, automatic first down, and it flipped the field because they would have been kicking from like their 30 or something like that, kicking to us. We would have had decent field position. Instead, after we finally stop them and they punt, they're on our side of the 50. Like, we had a sack that took them out of field goal range, and they kick it, and we start the ball with the ball at our own 7-yard line. You know, it's like, that's not good. We don't want to be with our heels on the goal line kind of thing. It's no bueno. So, another veteran mistake there. And then, as I mentioned before, Robert Quinn bumping into Burrow, knocking him down, 15-yard penalty. Like I said, give Joe Burrow the Oscar for his acting job on that one. But, you know, they were both standing like all their entire body was on the large white stripe of the sideline when when Quinn comes running into him, gives him a shoulder, knocks him down. There's the penalty. And it was like third and 18. Like, there was nobody open downfield. The secondary did a great job, and he ended up just running out of bounds. You know, instead of throwing it away or whatever, he just runs out of bounds. Robert Quinn gives him a shoulder. He goes tumbling down, 15 yards, automatic first down, and that resulted in a field goal for the Bengals. So just stupid on Robert Quinn's part. You know, absolutely moronic. And then the last bear down, I'm gonna give to Duke Shelley, who replaced Marquis Christian, who was a nightmare against the Rams. Duke Shelley wasn't much better. He didn't give up the huge plays that Christian was a part of last week against the Rams, but you know, they went after him. So we got to do something about that nickel position. Cause like I said, I'm missing Buster Skrin big time. You know, Buster Skrin took his lumps last year, but we weren't getting gashed. Like, we weren't an automatic first down on third and long. All we have to do is just beat the nickel corner and it's a done deal. So, we got to figure that out, especially with games coming up. You know, week 3 next week is against the Browns. They're a good passing team. week five with the Raiders, who look damn good right now. They beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh today. They overcame the Ravens on Monday. They're 2-0 right now. So I don't know what the rest of their schedule looks like before we go see them in a few weeks. But, you know, they'll exploit the hell out of that nickel and, you know, get some easy first downs against us if we don't get that shored up. So bear down to Duke Shelley. So, all right, take a quick break. Let the sponsors have their due, and then we'll bring up the Bear Ups, end this thing on a positive note, like we did, even though we gave up those late touchdowns. We ended it on a positive note with a good scramble from Justin Fields to get a first down on like 3rd and 9 and, you know, get the victory formation. This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by the Spotify Green Room. Formerly known as the Locker Room app, guys, Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. Start or join ongoing conversations. Watch games together. React to the biggest news, rumors, and games. And, of course, I host a weekly show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room. The Bears Talk Underground presents Club 34/7. Be sure and join me. Come through and talk with me live. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android app store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join into the group. Follow me to be notified when my room goes live. And, of course, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, is when Club 34/7 hits the air. So be sure to join in on the fun, guys. You don't want to miss it. And be sure to follow me on the app so that you'll know anytime that I go live, because we'll be doing watch parties during the preseason. We'll be doing knee-jerk reactions during halftime, during the season, and things like that. Lots to do. This app opens up so many possibilities for interaction between me and you, my loyal audience. So be sure and download the Spotify Green Room app wherever you get your apps. Bear up for week number 2. Here's all the guys who made the nice list that we just got done with the naughty boys. Now it's time for the nice ones. One that I didn't write down, I actually want to give an honorary bear up to Jason Peters. He left the game early last week against the Rams with that quad injury. He was questionable. He was limited all week. Played the game today. He wasn't perfect, but he was there, you know, and it was very important that he play, because the alternative was Elijah Wilkerson. And I know that I gave Elijah Wilkerson a bear up last week for how he performed in emergency duty, but we didn't want him to be our starting left tackle. We just didn't. So honorary bear up for Jason Peters for getting out there and for playing the game and for making it through. You know, I honestly appreciate the effort. The guys had it rough the last 4 or 5 seasons. He missed out on the Super Bowl run in 2017 with the Eagles. He got injured and missed the playoff run and all that kind of stuff. He had to watch his team win a Super Bowl without him. He's got a ring, but he didn't have a hand in it when it counted. So, you know, this is a guy that has been through a lot the last few years. You know, we called him when he was fishing in August, you know, when the preseason was barely underway. And, you know, he's still trying to work himself into football shape, but he's an all-pro, probably a Hall of Famer too, for all that he did in Buffalo and Philadelphia. But, you know, I appreciate the effort, and he was able to make it through the game and was helpful for the football team for the most part. So honorary for being able to get ready to play and, you know, get through the ball game. So the real bear ups, number one, we're going to go to Justin Fields. Coming out and, you know, did some nice things in his packages before Andy Dalton went down. His stats aren't impressive at all. I don't even think he broke 100 yards passing. A lot of that actually is not his fault. That touchdown, he threw a pass to Allen Robinson that went right through his arms, hit him in the stomach and everything. It was perfect. It could not have been any better. The only thing that was different from the Javon Wims drop in the wild card game against New Orleans and what happened with Allen Robinson's defender was basically right there. So, I mean, you can kind of sort of forgive Allen Robinson. Maybe there was a hand in his face or whatever, okay? But the ball itself, just like that throw from Mitch in the wild card game, the throw was perfect. The throw was there. He couldn't have thrown it any better than he did, and he dropped it. So we had to settle for a field goal. There was another pass of his that was dropped that should have been caught. I think like three or four passes were dropped. And I think that's actually something that if Justin Fields is going to be the starter against Cleveland this week, then he'll have a week of practice with the ones, and maybe they can work on their timing, because maybe the ball was coming out a little bit late or something like that. Like, it's just one of those timing things more than anything else. Like, if the ball comes out sooner, it's perfect, and, you know, that kind of thing. So, but, you know, he played well. That, you know, he made his rookie mistake with the interception that almost resulted in a pick six, but one play later did make it 20-17. The fumble, the strip sack that that happened in the, I believe it was the third quarter, tremendous effort on his part. You know, he got his arm grazed, the ball comes out, and like most quarterbacks would have just sat back and watched that take place. Instead, he's the reason, number one, that it wasn't a scoop and score, and while he was keeping the defenders from picking up the football, he recovered it himself, and so that was huge. Would have been a huge, huge momentum swing, because where Justin Fields ended up recovering the football, I think it was like the 15-yard line or something. It would have been nothing for the Bengals to put it into the end zone, or at the very least would have been able to put an easy 3 points on the board. Instead, he was able to retain possession, and we ended up kicking it back to the Bengals and got out of our own end zone there. So, but he did good things. That run in the third quarter to move the chains and extend the drive was pretty much the run that won the game for us, or sealed the victory, if you will. An outstanding job on his part, and I think it can only get better from here. You know, he spent the whole week, maybe running a few plays here and there for the quote unquote packages that he was a part of. But if he's starting against Cleveland, he'll get all the reps in practice, and he'll be that much sharper, you know, for it. And that mistake on the interception, I think film review will be able to fix that. So I have a lot of faith in Justin Fields and how smart he is. He'll know what to look for next time in that kind of situation. So I don't think it's one he's going to make over and over again. I think he gets a good grasp of it in the film and sees what happens out there. It's not likely a mistake that he'll make again. And I was just looking on Twitter a few moments ago, and he's already come out and said, "I'm not happy with the way I played today." So it's like, yeah, it's great that we got the win. I didn't play well, so we got to fix that. And, you know, he's holding himself accountable, and that's what you want to hear from your quarterback. So, but bear up, Justin Fields. Hopefully this is just the beginning of all the great things to come that we hope for going forward. Bear up to Robert Quinn. Despite your stupidity with the Joe Burrow thing and that dumbass penalty that you had, Robert Quinn with at least, I think, one sack. He may have been credited with two, actually, but he has been in the first two games more of a pass rushing presence than he was all of last year. And if he does in fact have, well, I mean, he's officially, I know for a fact he has two sacks. I think they gave him a third one. Or, you know, a second sack today, which would give him three on the year. So he's either already matched his 2020 total for sacks, or he surpassed it in the first two games. So if he's got three sacks, he's ahead of where he was last year. And if he only got the one, then he's tied for his season total for last year in the first two ball games. So hopefully this is more along the lines of the guy that we signed that was able to get results no matter what team he was playing for, Miami, Dallas, Los Angeles / St. Louis. The guy's been a stud pass rusher, and that's what we were hoping for when we brought him here. And good thing to see that he's getting after it. So bear up to, and I'm going to make this a combo, bear up to Eddie Jackson and Tashawn Gibson teamed up for the fumble / scoop recovery in the first half. Was Eddie Jackson getting in there and raking the hand You know, just raking the hand, the ball comes loose, comes flying out. Here comes Deshaun Gibson, comes and scoops it up and made a decent return, getting it into Bengal territory. After what they did last week, or what they didn't do last week is probably more of an appropriate way to put it. It was nice to see them affecting the game in a positive way today. You know, nice bounce back from last week. And, you know, like I said, the Deshaun Gibson thing, the Bear Down Award that I gave him, it's a stupid penalty. I don't like the parameters that they set for it, but you're a veteran. You can't do that. And you especially should not be doing it on third down. So, yeah. But bear up for that. You know, Eddie Jackson and Deshaun Gibson affecting the game in a positive way was very nice to see. Bear up Jalen Johnson with the interception. Was brilliant. They showed the all 22 where they're all panned out and showing you can see all the routes, and it showed Jalen Johnson, you know, keeping his eyes in the backfield the whole time, and so he was able to break on the ball. The receiver was running his route, not paying attention to his quarterback. Jalen Johnson was able to undercut the route, got it, got the interception that resulted in another field goal for the Bears. And, was an excellent play. His first career interception, so we got to give him a bear up for that. Bear up to Sean Desai. I'm sorry, I just like totally blanked on his name. Sean Desai, our defensive coordinator. Great bounce back week for him as well. After his offense got torched for huge plays and made it look like we got beat worse than we did against the Rams. Nice job bouncing back from against a team that could throw the ball as well as the LA Rams. I mean, they have those effective playmakers with Higgins and Chase and Boyd and everybody else. So with Mixon coming out of the backfield as well. They're a talented group on offense, and deep into the third quarter, it was a 20-3 ball game. You know, we'd held them to one field goal throughout the entire game, and that one was a 53-yard field goal. So it's not like they got deep in the red zone and we shut them down and he hit a chip shot. They had to kick a 53-yarder to get their points in the third quarter, actually. So, you know, we shut them out in the first half, three points going into the fourth quarter, and then that late barrage. The second one I don't really even put on the defense. There's only so much you can ask your defense to do when they're starting on their own 7-yard line. So you're pretty much almost guaranteed to score. It would take a tremendous effort to stop them from scoring. And, unfortunately, we weren't able to do it. So it became a 20-17 game, but we were able to close it out. Bear up to David Montgomery. Did not break 100 yards. Didn't score a touchdown today. So I think that snaps like a 7-game streak for him. But, you know, and the offensive line didn't really do him many favors. But the Bengals are actually very, very good in the middle of their defensive line. Ogunjobi, I tweeted out, we might want to think about blocking him at some point because he was in the backfield all day long. So maybe I should put a bear down on our guards, on our interiors of, you know, which I was touting their praising their efforts. But Mustafa, Whitehair, James Daniels, could not block Ogunjobi today, whether he was affecting the pass rush or getting into the backfield. So maybe I want to, you know, give a bear down to our interior line. And you know what? I want to give a bear up while I'm at it to Jermaine Afidi. He should have gotten one last week for his effort against the Rams. Didn't hear a peep out of Leonard Floyd last week. And you didn't hear a peep this week out of Sam Hubbard, the pass rusher that was playing over Afidi the whole game. So two games, he's actually done really, really well for us. So an honorary bear up for Jason Peters, and a full blown bear up for Jermaine Afidi. Very happy with what he's done so far this season. When we felt like we were settling for him after we let Bobby Massey go, he's showing that he's the real deal. Maybe he's finally coming into his own after being a first round disappointment. He's played very, very well so far. We'll see how he does next week when he's going up against Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. That's a whole different ballgame there. But, Leonard Floyd ate us up last season against the Rams. You didn't hear a peep out of him last week on Sunday Night Football. And then finally, Got to give him the most valuable bear award and a solid bear up to Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith, 8 tackles, 1 sack, really good looking sack, and the pick six. I mean, he had a monster of a football game, and that interception, that pick six, is kind of what opened the floodgates for the fourth quarter barrage to take place there. You know, his pick six came. That was the first of the 3 interceptions from Burrow that blew the game open there in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Roquan's going to get paid, man. And I hope it's us that pays him. We can't let him go. We can't let the homegrown talent get away. We can't let him go. You know, we got to hang on to him. And he's played outstanding. He was good last week. He had 11 tackles against the Rams, 8 more today against the Bengals, but he had a sack and a pick six. You know, our first pick six since Ha-Ha Clinton Dix against the Redskins, like week 2 or 3 of 2019. I mean, just, it's been 2 full calendar years since the Bears had a pick six. We didn't have one last year in 2020. So, you know, Sean Desai said he was going to bring more of a Fangio-looking defense back to the Bears. Week 2, there it was. That's what the Bears did. They caused turnovers. They got takeaways. They put points on the board for the offense like they did with Roquan's pick six. So hopefully this is what we can expect to see going forward from the defense. The pass rush was getting after Burrow all day today. You know, we got the turnovers with the strip and recovery from Gibson and Eddie Jackson. And then, you know, Roquan, Jalen Johnson, and even our nose tackle, Angelo Blackson, got in on the interception game there in the fourth quarter. You know, just really kind of killing any chance of the Bengals getting any momentum there in the fourth quarter to try to make a game out of it, as opposed to, you know, the quick strikes they were able to put at the end. I said in the knee-jerk reactions that you hear tomorrow, I don't think 20-17 tells the correct story of how this game. Like I say, that I don't think that the Rams were 20 points better than us last week. I don't think that we were only 3 points better than the Bengals today. I think 20-10 would have been a more appropriate score there. You know, I think that would have told a better story as to how that game actually went. But we got the victory, 20-17. We head back out on the road because it's away, home, away, home, away, home, all throughout the season. So we go to Cleveland next Sunday. Big test, big matchup for the Bears. Can we stand up to a playoff team at Cleveland on the road? And, you know, who will our starting quarterback be? We'll get into all of that later on this week. We'll have Jeff Lloyd from Locked On Browns on the show to help us preview the game on Thursday. Then we'll have the deep dive on Friday. And also, guys, don't forget to come in and talk to me on Wednesday. Going to be doing the Club 34/7 live show on the Spotify Green Room. You can find me. Just follow my username, Larry D, Larry D-E-E. And, you know, you'll get alerted when I go live. 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern on the Spotify Green Room on Wednesday night. I will be out there, so be sure to come and join me. And we'll chat. And, you know, especially with by Wednesday, with some injury reports to be coming out, we'll know what's going on with Dalton. So we can talk about how excited we are that Justin Fields is going to start against the Browns. Because I only have 3 words to say about that, if it's true. Actually, that's not what I wanted to do. That's not what I wanted. That's the wrong bed. Hold on. Because I only have 3 words of about that if Justin Fields is in fact going to be our starter.
I like it.
There we go. That's the sound I wanted. I do like that. So anyway, come and talk to me on Wednesday. Be sure to, Thursday, the first part of the preview episode with Jeff Lloyd from Locked On Browns will hit. We'll have the deep dive on Friday. Get you ready for Bears-Browns on Wednesday. And also, yeah, what the hell am I doing? Make sure to catch the deep dive review tomorrow. We'll have knee-jerk reactions and further news and analysis from me, Larry D. So be sure to come back tomorrow for the deep dive review and tune in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You got me all week, folks. You got me all week. You can't get away from me even if you tried. So see you all tomorrow. And until then, My name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.